All right, we are about to embark on an unprecedented conversation. We have three premier soul, funk, etc. DJs from Lawrence in house with us today. Mr. B. Sears, Mrs. Sadie Soul, and Mr. Josh Powers, a.k.a. Scene Booster Sound System. Maybe we could start out by just talking about what you guys... introduce yourselves as the person and then the personality. And then tell us a little bit about what you do.
My name is Brian Sears. My moniker is B. Sears. Go figure. That's me.
So as far as, throwing down with the heat, believe is you refer to it.
Sure.
The lava.
The magma.
The magma.
Yeah.
What type of records do you mostly spin?
More female soul, crossover, 60s and 70s. Sometimes I touch the funk, but mainly it's just, soul from the 60s and 70s.
Cool. Speaking of soul, we have a one-year-old in the room who's moved by the music. Josh, maybe you could introduce her.
I'm Josh Powers, the Scene Booster Sound System, and I brought my posse with me. I got my main girl, Ruby Jean, 7, and my other main squeeze, Hazy Poo. She's 1, and she's not real into this.
All right. And finally, Sadie.
I'm Sarah Brokenleg, otherwise I guess known as Sadie Soul. I grew up with my grandpa calling me Sadie. And I kind of stick to 60s soul and some R&B. And I guess I started out playing a lot of girl group stuff from like late 50s, early 60s.
So. Cool. And when you play out, is it typically known as Lawrence Soul Club or what exactly?
That would be the Lawrence Soul Club. Yeah, you get cool. That. You get a mixture depending where you're at. Sometimes it's Sadie Soul at the replay. Sometimes they put it as Lawrence Soul Club. Gold Label Soul at the Tap Room.
Cool. All right. So first question, now that we have all three of you in the same room, is this podcast going to resemble a gang fight from the 1979 cult classic The Warriors?
No.
Has anyone ever seen that film?
Only if I get to dress like one of the baseball guys.
Yeah, the baseball guy was good.
They get the bat.
The clown guy was good, but I'm more about the old dirty bastard references, really.
Mm-hmm. But a feeling of civility in the air and... do you guys overlap much with your evenings? Is there any sense a competitive nature to this whole business in Lawrence, or how do you guys interact?
I think Lawrence is too small of a town to get really competitive about something like this. I think we have a good community, and the whole point of the Lawrence Soul Club starting 3 years ago, when my old DJ partner Jacob Smith and I started it, was just to get a group of people that loved that music together and support each other in each other's nights. And I've had the opportunity to spin with both these guys, and it's been a lot of fun, and I don't see any reason why we would compete.
For sure.
I tried to sabotage both of them as much as possible, steal their records, and no, absolutely not. I mean, these are Sadie, Sarah is totally right that it's too small a town for that. And besides that, I think, speaking for myself, I've learned so much from other DJs that started playing this music long before I did, and so you try to pass that on, I hope.
Mm-hmm. And soul is such a broad word that could you guys maybe be more specific about how you guys are similar or different in your specific interests?
I guess we kind of started in on that. I know Josh plays a lot more funk stuff than I think either Brian or I do. Yeah. I tend to play a lot of 60s Motown stuff. I'm a big fan of classic Motown. I also like some of that obscure stuff you can't find as readily. Stuff you got to kind of go digging for.
Right, which actually brings me to my next question, which is, in these tough economic times, can crate diggers like yourself still afford to drop $50 on rare 45s, or do you have to economize and buy Best of Motown box sets from the Home Shopping Network?
I would never do that.
No, thanks. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Just like any addict, you find a way.
I wish I could find records that were $50.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, that's a bargain.
Yeah, and I'm a broke-ass grad student, so if it's more than, $20, it's probably going to be a lucky find for a dollar in a bin somewhere in Kansas City.
Definitely. Which is the best way to find them anyway.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Even Baldwin found a $300 record for Baldwin. For
care
a
to share any secrets?
No.
That's rule number one.
Tell me a little bit about your methodology. We'll start with B. Sears. I know you have a pipeline to a guy named Superwolf in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Helps you out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was given a mix a while back, like a few years ago, and this song blew my mind, and I had to have it. And he was like, well, call up Superwolf. And I was like, what, who? And I called up Superwolf, Jimmy Trotter, and, you know, I asked him about this record, and he was like, yeah, I totally have it. And so I went to his house, and in order to get gain entry into his house, me and my boy Cyrus D, he's also a part of the Breakdown, went to Price Chopper and bought some catnip, or cat litter. Was it cat? I think it was cat litter for Jimmy, because he... He needed some cat litter, and he didn't want to ride his bike to the grocery store. So in order to get the record, or to hear his records, or to see his records, I had to buy some cat litter, and that pretty much was the start of you know, of me and my you know, record obsession.
Mm. How about you, Josh?
What was the question?
How have your collecting methods evolved over the years?
Well, yeah, Hazy doesn't want me to talk.
Or we'll ask Hazy. Hazy, how have Josh's record collecting methods evolved over the years?
Hazy gets kept away from the records. She's not quite old enough yet. Ruby, however, has become a record collector in her own right. Different genres.
I stay upstairs because I like Star Wars.
Ah, yes, there's the Star Wars connection too. But back to the question. I have a pretty straight line to James Trotter as well, because Jimmy used to be in the Hustlers convention with Jock Max and Dante Carfagna, and those three guys in Kansas City back in the day were the straight go-to guys for heavy funk. And so they were all very kind to me back, you know, this is 10, 12 years ago when I started getting into that type of music. And so you start learning about things like that, and then when Dante went to Chicago, I took over his spot at the Music Exchange, and that was a big help to have that record store at your disposal. So, you know, these days it's hard. Lawrence is not a spot for soul records. It's a rare occasion that you get to come up on something really good at Love Garden, which has great records, but, you know, Lawrence is a pretty white town, and so you're not coming across African-American music.
Cool.
I agree.
Josh was kind enough to bring some music along, and also we'll share some that Sarah brought as well. Josh, do you hear this song? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
This is Frankie Newsom and Don't Mess With My Little Lovemaker, Part 2. And I think it's the last one on the CD, so it's got a nice little breakdown coming here. We can check it out. Satisfied. Fellas, hands off.
Ruby Andrews track. It's called Just Loving You. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that one.
I'm going to let Brian take that one on because I threw that one on the CD for him.
Yeah. I just recently got this record. The first time I ever heard it, I had to have it. That's what sucks about collecting records, I feel like. Because whenever I hear something that I want, I have to have it. There's no buts about it. Like, I'll sell whatever I have to sell, my soul, in order to obtain the soul.
How can you spin soul records if you have no soul?
It's a good question. I don't know. This song, it's just beautiful. This song, I can't say anything bad about the song. I think this song is just like perfection. Bridges Knight and Eden, a Brothers of Soul production on Zodiac. It's probably the toughest record to get of Ruby Andrews, and I'm just a big fan of it. I can't say
Brian's
enough.
Tearing up a little bit.
Pretty much. This song is just... my sister's going to get married in May, and when I heard this song, I was like, man, I really want to play this song at my sister's wedding, and she probably won't like it, but, you know, I will.
It's just her wedding.
That's beside the point.
Whatever. You know, who cares? I think it's beautiful.
Cool. What specifically moves you so much about these records, you know, as opposed to maybe stuff that people are more familiar with, you know, that you might hear on Oldies station or something?
You either feel it or you don't, and I feel it. It touches me. Not to be perverse or anything like that, but
Sarah,
it hits
Brian
me.
Brian likes to spend a lot of time with his records.
It hits me. I don't know.
I'm all
it's
about
a hard,
lyrics.
A hard question.
I don't know. Same question, Sarah, Josh. You want to handle that?
I'm all about lyrics. The lyrics to that stuff. Some of the best love songs and some of the best heartbreak songs you've ever heard in your life.
Totally.
You know,
I'm more about the instrumental. Actually, I like the instrumental joints. Now there are certain records that the vocals are so powerful, and I think that Ruby Andrews is definitely a good example of that. But I'm so into the straight up instrumental funk joints, and that's another thing we were talking earlier about differences between us. I'm definitely more on the funk tip than these two, but I definitely appreciate the hard soul too.
Right. Cool. I mean, is a large portion of what you play stuff that's not familiar to a mainstream audience, or do you mix in Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and all that stuff?
I absolutely mix it up. I think those are classics for a reason. I mean, that's the stuff that made me fall in love with soul music. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was growing up, I had no idea about all these rare records that were out there.
Right.
Everything I heard was Motown, so yeah, I've got a soft spot for Motown, man.
And I mean, who do you think was listening to these when they first came out? When these records first came out?
The people you wanted to be hanging out with. For sure.
That's right.
For sure.
Well, when I think about the Four Tops Temptations concert the other night, well, the Temptation concert, and I think there's two original Four Tops. I was definitely probably some of the youngest. We were, I think, the youngest people there. So I think what I like about the nights, too, is that soul music really hits a lot of different ages. You know, you can get a little kid to get down to soul music, and then you've got a lot of people that grew up on it and have a lot of memories to it. So.
I love it when the old folks come out. When you
I
get a little,
love that.
It's
and
so
they
nice.
Just are so excited that you're playing something they grew up on, and yeah, spreads the love.
Right. Do you ever get so sick of spinning soul music that you want to claw your eyes out with plastic forks and instead spin nothing but Dan Fogelberg and LaToya Jackson?
No. I'm going to go ahead and answer for everybody. No.
No. I was going to go with a never.
Do you ever spin? Do you ever go outside of your realm, or do you stick to it? Do you find that it's, you know, like a good thing to kind of have that identity and let people know what they're getting when they come see you guys?
Yeah, I don't really branch out.
You just spin the records you like. I'm getting that sense.
Pretty well.
I had to do a fashion show on Friday, which wasn't really in my realm. And granted, I kind of slid most of it over to the guy with the laptop to do. But I did play some Wendy O. Williams and some Gargoyle Girls. Wow. For the Social Service League, and that was a little different. I mean, I've got a lot of different records. I've got a lot of old punk rock stuff. I like all kinds of music, but I think when people come out, I'd throw them off. I think they come out to all three of our nights, knowing specifically what they're getting.
It's hard to get down to the Dead Kennedys, for sure.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I really like the Dead Kennedys. I actually came to funk music through Slayer. I started listening to Slayer, and then because they were on Def Jam, I got into Public Enemy. And because I got into Public Enemy, I got into soul music, because I wanted to know how they made that music. And so, I mean, obviously that's a little bit
that's
step removed.
Fantastic tie together, wow. though.
But it is. It's totally like because of sample-based music.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Punk rock, it's all, I'll be a total cheeseball, man. Like Duke Ellington said, there's good music and there's bad music. That's the only two kinds. And so it's hard to DJ out a jazz standard if you want to move the crowd, but I definitely branch out in my nights because I like to connect hip-hop songs that have sampled funk, you know, everything. It's I think anything is fair game.
I've actually heard that about your night. Somebody said that they love that you play the stuff that was sampled in a lot of the hip-hop songs, like you play the originals, and that was what they loved about your nights.
I've also heard people who hate that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably both sides for all of us. My favorite's that Do You Have Any Hootie? I think that's my favorite type.
Yeah, it's hard not to be like a really kind of a elitist or elitist type of stuck up person, or to come off that way, not to be that way. But, you know, if people get off on Hootie and the Blowfish and that moves them, I'm not going to condescend to that, but there is no way they're going to hear it at my right. night. There's yeah. just, it's yeah. not going to happen. And people get offended too. They come up and say like, do you have any Lil Wayne? No, I don't have any Lil Wayne. I'm not going to play it for you.
What, any what? MJ?
Michael Jackson? Oh, no, I'll play Michael Jackson at a heartbeat.
My favorite ever was, do you have something with a beat that I could actually dance to?
I've heard people come up and say, can you play some dance music?
Yeah, I don't know what soul is if it doesn't have a beat.
Right, exactly. I'd like to hear some dance music.
Well, let's play some more dance music. This is The Autographs. It's called I'm Going to Show You How to Love Me.
Chapter after chapter, I know you teach them all something new. I'm gonna show you how to love me, for you it won't take much. Oh, you're gonna make the grade. I'm gonna show you how to treat me, cause you're the teacher's pet.
All right, now it's time for the part of the podcast I like to call Barrage of Random Questions. Josh, if Sarah Palin were to walk into one of your evenings, what song would you play?
I'm going to go back to our punk rock discussion, and I think I would play some Dead Kennedys. There's a song that the Dead Kennedys have called Nazi Punks. Something off, and since my daughters are in the room, I'm not going to complete that, but that's what I'd play for her. That, or maybe I'd retouch on some Slayer, because Slayer really brings out the... the aggression that I might feel towards a Sarah Palin type person.
Oh, I'll say, I guess at the fashion show, my friend Buck dressed up as Sarah Palin with a pig mask with lipstick on it. And I played him the Gore Gore Girls' Fox in a Box. So that's good lyrics to listen to.
Yeah. All right. Same question. If George Bush walked into DJ Night, would you have anything picked out for him?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honey Drippers. Impeach the President, for sure.
Right, it's actually a tune, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You'd know it if you heard it. It's been sampled by, you hear it in Toyota commercials. It's got a classic break at the front, but yeah, Impeach the President by the Honey Drippers. I can't think of a more deserving dedication to someone.
B. Sears, Sadie, any thoughts?
I'm going to stick with that one.
All right.
Yeah, good choice.
Which current presidential candidate has more soul?
Now that's not even a fair question. I mean, I think we all know. There's no need to.
Yeah.
You know, some people actually from Western Kansas may be tuning into this podcast. So just for the sake of them, let's just go ahead and go there.
And go there with who has soul?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with Obama got soul. That's just
Obama got soul.
I like my Western Kansas folks, and you know what? You can't prejudge people. I'm certain there are some folks out in Western Kansas who aren't happy with the way things are going and who might be casting their ballot for the Democratic ticket this year.
And for all we know, you know, McCain can cut a rug. I don't know.
Who knows?
Do we know this, Cannon?
The Maverick, man.
All right. So let's tune in a little bit more. This is actually a Billy Butler song, and I don't know anything about Billy Butler other than that he hits for the Kansas City Royals. so maybe you could tell us about his music career, too.
I couldn't tell you a whole lot about Billy's music career. I know he did a lot of stuff on OK Records, and mm-hmm. I think this is just kind of a classic goodie. You hear it at soul clubs all across the country.
It's called Right Track. Basis. And as long as we're finishing up with that one, we may as well just go ahead and segue into Smokey Robinson, The Miracles. And I don't know if we really need to say anything about this one.
I think it's one of those classics I was talking about.
I noticed that there is a, like, you know, sort of a clipping going on, probably due to the fact that these are records that you sampled to CDs, and the grooves are probably just worn out. How do you deal with that? Do you have
You go after
issues?
Stock copies. It's got to be stock. Mint. Minty.
I like that warm. Want. I like the warm crackle of records. I think that's what's so soothing to me.
Uh-huh.
You get it on a loud system at the club. And
can't even hear it.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Except for B-Series.
I like my stuff stock.
He's going to go with the
I like
copies.
My stuff stock.
Stock is probably super expensive, right?
That's I don't know.
No.
Some people just prefer it.
This is the guy who's willing to, like, not have health insurance in order to buy records.
Pretty much.
So
sell my soul.
So respectively, you all have done a number of different nights at a number of different establishments, but keep us up to speed. What's the latest and greatest in each of your
I'm going to go with, by the time this comes out, it'll be past, but October 18th is my third year anniversary of doing Gold Label Soul down at the Tap Room.
That will be true.
Yeah.
And however, you will be at Tap Room on 25th?
No, October 25th I'll be at the replay, and the Sir Jimmy Trotter we were just speaking about earlier in the podcast, Super Wolf, is going to be there with me doing a night, and I know Brian's doing a night the same night.
Right.
At Tap Room?
Yeah, the Tap Room with Cyrus D and Staxwell.
Cool. The Breakdown is the name of that. You've been doing it for a few months now.
Right.
As The Breakdown.
Right. The Breakdown.
Yep. And Josh, you're kind of, you got something coming up at the Tap Room November.
Yeah, first Saturday in November, which is the 1st of November. It's a Saturday Soul Clap, 8 years strong. So come down, just me by my lonesome, but we're going to do it the right way.
Cool. So What sort of changes have you noticed in your audiences throughout the 8 years? Anything significant, or you know, anything the last year or two that's sort of been different about DJing at the Tap Room, the Replay?
Both places are excellent places to play. I love the Tap Room. The Replay is a lot of fun to play, but Lawrence is the type of place that, you know, it's pretty transitory. People come and you build up a night and you have a crowd, and then they graduate and go away, and so you have to start over again. So there's a couple stalwarts who have remained coming out year after year, but it's fun to develop a new crowd, and that way you don't get burned out on records. You know, you can reintroduce songs to a new crowd. So it's always a turnover, but it's a lot of fun.
Cool. I think we alluded to this a little bit earlier when we were talking about people who request Hootie and the Blowfish. But what are some misconceptions people might have about what you guys do, or whether it be the music that you're spinning or the way that you spin it?
You only like people think that I only like rare music, rare soul, rare funk. And no, I like music. I just like music.
How much would it take, would I have to pay you to play a Primus song?
I don't know any Primus songs. Is that Les Claypool, though?
They're funky. Why don't you play some Primus?
I, I don't feel it. I think I said earlier, you either feel it or you don't. And
that's
definitely
good,
don't
neither
feel
do I.
Primus.
Well, I can, you know, Mr. Claypool does play a mean bass.
Right.
Well,
no, definitely.
I like Primus a lot, but they have no relationship to funk.
All right, let's tune back into the record. This is a Betty Harris track. It's called Mean Man. Anything you want to say about Betty Harris or this song?
I think, well, Betty Harris is awesome, and this is a great song, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Oh, and Dawn should probably know that it's on here because it's her favorite. So maybe we could talk a little bit more about ridiculous things you guys have done to obtain records. B. Sears, you got any thoughts on that?
Where do I start? Yeah, there's one thing that comes to mind, and that was I would go to Jimmy's house. He DJs every Friday at Shea Charlie's in Westport, and I would go and DJ with him, and usually, you know, end up spending the night at his house to go dig the next morning, that being Saturday. And so there was one weekend that Cyrus D, he's a Lawrencian and also a member of The Breakdown, he went to Kansas City with me, and we went and DJed, and we stayed at Trotter's house. Trotter has three cats, and I'm like deathly allergic to cats, and so I just remember having no blanket. And they had a pillow, and I was in the room with two cats in the room, sleeping on a pillow, cold out of my mind. And Cyrus, I think Cyrus did have a blanket, and I was so envious of him. And there was that, and there was, you know, one time Jimmy had like a, he was, there was a house, and there was a Doberman, and I was sleeping in a room with the Doberman, and that was really quite scary, terrifying. And I remember there was one day that we were digging, and Jimmy wanted to go to this place to go eat donuts, and all they serve is donuts and cheeseburgers. And I was terrified.
What place? What marvelous place is this?
I don't know. It's on Troost Road. It's on Troost in Kansas City.
Donuts and cheeseburgers.
That's all they serve. Delicious. Is donuts and cheeseburgers. And there's a drawer, and that's how you get your cheeseburger donut. Like,
because there's bulletproof glass.
Yeah, there's not bulletproof glass. Who knows what goes on there, but, you know, it's all for records. Hmm. And
how about you, Sarah? Have you ever...
I've actually avoided Jimmy's house because of those cats, because I'm also deathly allergic, and I saw Brian the next day. Yeah, it looked painful.
It was bad. It was
swollen shut eyes almost. Beyond stopping in some really weird small towns along the side of highways to dig through antique malls, I guess that's probably about as crazy as I've gotten.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you purchase something and then find that you're disappointed in it?
Rarely ever. I spend a lot of time online. There's a couple, like Soul Source, a couple other soul sites you can check stuff out. They've got clips up. The John Manship site tends to have clips that you can listen to. So I try and, you know, figure out what I'm getting before I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say I haven't dug through some bins and brought some stuff home not having listened to it and been like, oh, crap.
Or country.
Those country labels are good, man, at looking. Man,
there are. That's rare, that's true.
It looks soul, but it's country.
Sometimes tricky, huh?
Sometimes.
Josh, any stories to that end?
Yeah, one time I was in Chicago with Dante, and Dante Carfagna was part of the Hustlers Convention with James and Jock Max in Kansas City. And Dante is a well-known all over the world. He's a serious dude in the world of records, of soul music. But anyway, he took me to a place called Out of the Past, which is on the south side. And, you know, it's just, if you're not from that neighborhood, they kind of frown on you being in that neighborhood. And so we went into Out of the Past, and the lady who owns it, I believe her name is Lucretia, took us down into the basement because Dante said that's where the real gems were. So you get down in the basement, and there's literally a foot of water. Like, you have to wade into a foot of water. Rats everywhere. Records that are just moldy as all get out and horrible, but every single one was a heavy hitter, like serious, serious records. So we were down there all day long, and when we came out, it was about 10 o'clock at night. We went to settle up with Lucretia and leave, and she kind of just looked at us incredulously and was like, what are you doing? Like, we're just going to catch a cab back to Bucktown, so that's where he was living at the time, I think. She said, you won't make it to the corner, like, in this neighborhood. Two guys like you walking down the street with records, you'll be dog meat. So she shut up shop. I mean, obviously it was way past closing time, but she actually drove us back to Dante's house herself, which was, I mean, this lady's like 60 some years old. So it was pretty hip. I mean, it was just a nice end to a good day.
Most, you know, people who are going to hold you up these days, it's really the rare funk and soul records that they're after more so than your wallet.
Fine. You never know when Superwolf's going to jump out. Hit you with a cheeseburger and a donut.
Throw a can at
you. Cheeseburger and a donut. Long John.
You got to look out for Jock Max, though, because he'll get you with the chicken and waffles.
I will keep that in mind next time.
Oh, it's somebody that I've heard of. Marks. Marks? Come on. Sarah knows.
All right, guys. Any closing thoughts about soul music or anything else?
It's good stuff, and you should come check it out if you haven't ever heard it.
It's all right. I dig it.
I think it's fun.
It's all right.
I'm into it.
It's available in Lawrence.
Now available. For a limited time.
No. I would like to say that as kind of the old man of the crew, my daughter's eating the microphone, both Brian and Sarah's nights are insanely good. So, you know, if you... Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry. If you're interested in soul music, come out and you will have a good time. Whether you're a dancer or you're one of these folks who likes to play the wall and have your drink, it's a really fun nights in Lawrence, Kansas. We're really lucky to have these nights to go out to. So.
Or even if you like to dance on the wall, either one.
That's getting a little close to Lionel Richie, so I'm gonna back off that. But
this is one of my favorite songs.
Well, cool. We'll use this one as our closing.
How about that?
You saved me from the Lionel.
Josh, Sarah, Brian, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
And stay cool.
Stay soulful.